Hi, I'm Adrian in suburban Chicagoland, and this is Your Parenting Mojo with Jen Lumenlon. Jen is working on a series of episodes based on the challenges you are having with your child. From toothbrushing to sibling fighting to the endless resistance to whatever you ask, Jen will look across all the evidence from thousands of scientific papers across a whole range of topics related to parenting and child development to help you see solutions to the issue you're facing that hadn't seemed possible before. If you'd like a personalized answer to your challenge, just make a video if possible, or an audio clip if not, that's less than 1 minute long that describes what's happening, and email it to support@yourparentingmojo.com. And listen out for your episode soon.
An action group is like the magic sauce. That 5 minutes of bringing intention to your parenting, to even have the reflective thought of like, what am I working towards? What am I willing to commit to? What's the next smallest step that I could take? That is the magic sauce, because intellectually we can read all the things, we can listen to all the modules, we can listen and read all the books or the podcasts, but it's where your intuition, your mind, and your body come together to actually experientially put it into practice. And each and every part of this action group is a mirror for myself, and I also get to mirror back things to them. And that is the gift.
Hello, and welcome to the Your Parenting Mojo podcast. Do you have a small group of parent friends who are there for you no matter what? These people would hear you and hold you in your lowest moments when nothing seems to be going right, and wouldn't judge you, and would instead reflect back to you exactly the version of yourself that you like to see in your best moments as a parent. These friends would offer insights into the struggles you're facing, and while they wouldn't parent exactly the same way that you do, they're aligned enough that their suggestions are something you would at least consider doing. And they only offer you advice if you say you want it. They wouldn't be offended if you said, "I just want to vent today." And you wouldn't feel like a burden to them, because you would know that another day things will be going better for you and another parent will be having a hard day, and you'll be there to hold them just as they held you. And why does it matter if other parents understand us? Well, when we see ourselves reflected back by other people who care, we access a better version of ourselves. We realize that we can cope with things that previously seemed so shameful that we could never admit them. When others perceive us as the parents that we wished we could be, it helps us to actually be that parent more of the time. Today, I'm going to introduce you to not just one amazing parent, not even two of them, but six of them, and they have exactly the kind of relationship that I just described. And you're going to hear exactly how it works. So here's what's going to happen. So in the parenting membership, we have what are called action groups, and they meet together every week for 40 minutes. A few months ago, one group kindly agreed to let me record one of their regular sessions. Leader Catherine told me afterwards that this meeting felt fairly typical to her, so it's almost like we'll be a fly on the wall. And I watched the recording of this session, and then a week later, the group let me crash their regular meeting. It was at 7 o'clock in the morning, so I was just about awake, and we discussed what I'd heard on the recording and what it's like for each of them to be held in this way in this particular community. We'll start off by hearing from the second call recording, where I joined the group to chat with them, and I've edited the footage of the second call to intersperse sections from the first call so you can hear how the initial discussion went, and then we talk about what we heard. If you're listening to this as a podcast episode, we will insert this music into the background whenever you're hearing the first call when I wasn't present to help you keep track. If you don't hear that music, you will know that I'm there talking with the participants. If you're watching on YouTube, obviously it's going to be more obvious because I'll either be on the screen or I won't. So don't worry if it sounds complicated. We will get the hang of it as we go. All right, so here we go. So can we begin by one of you explaining to us what an action group is? So what do you do? When do you do it? Where are you all located?
An action group is, action stands for accountability, clarity, and team. And we gather once a week for 40 minutes, thereabouts, And there's currently six of us in our group. And we have about 5 minutes per person to talk about what our previous steps was for last week, whether we managed to achieve that, we didn't, what's our week been like, and what is our next step for the next week. And because there's six people in our group, time is a factor. So we try and keep about 5 minutes per person. Sometimes we extend over a little bit, and we can always come back to that in circle to follow up. Usually, let's see, we've got, I think apart from Rachel and myself, everyone is on the on Eastern time in the US. I think Rachel's on Central, is that right? And I'm in West Australia, so it's like 12 hours difference. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of parents wonder when they're thinking about joining something like the membership, where they think, well, are people going to be in my time zone? How am I going to connect with people who are actually available when I am? And what we found is that it really doesn't matter that people are in your time zone, because if they're available when you're available, they could be anywhere, like anywhere they like. So Jody, you mentioned next steps. What's a next step?
Well, next step in our, like, what we want to achieve in our parenting journey. It's like what we want to do, how we want to show up for our kids. A small step so that we know that we're progressing in the right direction. And even if we don't make that step, that's okay. At least we have the intention of moving forward, and we can change the step. Maybe one step would be, I want to rest for this week because I had a really tough a couple of weeks. I just want to rest and meet my needs. And that could be an action step.
Okay. And then you check in with the group in the next meeting and see if you were able to do it. What happens if you didn't do it? Is that going to be trouble?
No, not really. I think everyone is really understanding. Everyone is in very similar situations. If we don't make a step, we don't achieve what we set out to achieve, we don't get shamed. We don't feel bad. We own it, and this life happens and we move on.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. And so I'm imagining, you know, I'm a parent who's new to this. I have big problems. 5 minutes, 5 minutes. How can 5 minutes possibly help me? What would any of you say to that?
I think it's the layers of it. So it is 5 minutes each week, but because it builds from week to week, it adds a consistency. And I feel really known by the group. Like maybe 1 week I talk about my child struggle to share. And then the next week I talk about my child eating nutritious food, but it just builds. And so over the 6 months, I feel the group members have a really complete picture of myself and where I am and my goals.
Yeah.
I would also say that even if each specific meeting is quote unquote only 5 minutes, I think many of us have lived life stages where it's like, how often do you really get 5 minutes where there are this many people truly intently listening to what you have to say and offering support? Like it is actually kind of rare in some life stages and just life situations or whatever else. So there's that. The other thing is that it may be 5 minutes of chatting, but that anchor helps me think about it through the whole rest of the week as well. You know, anything that feedback from other members or just knowing that it's coming up next and I'm like, oh, wait, right. I had this intention. I was going to do something about it. Like just a very benevolent version of a panopticon, perhaps, of just like knowing that there are folks that are rooting for me and I don't want to let them down either, but in a helpful way, not in a, oh, yet another obligation kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have one more follow-up question. There are so many more things I could ask. Catherine really owns her non-expert status, even though obviously she knows a lot. And I think a lot of parents think, well, what would I actually get out of being in a group where the person who's leading the group is just kind of floundering along like I am, right? I need an expert to tell me what to do here. I'm curious about anyone who's not Catherine, Can you say what it's like to be supported in this by a, you know, self-acknowledged non-expert who does obviously still know a lot? Does it matter? Hey, you?
I think that for me, I find that when I present a problem, I have an opportunity to practice my needs, my wants, and to go through the process of knowing I'm not going to be judged, how to get through a problem-solving scenario and hear other people present their needs and wants and contribute to that idea, to continue to reinforce it from like my head to my heart to my actions and how it plays out. And the intentionality of all week thinking about that, even knowing I want to present it to my action group, I find that it helps me integrate it. I have taken the additional step of downloading it to my phone. So whenever something comes up, I have used this in meetings, and it's going from like uncomfortable to becoming more integrated into my life, to becoming a much more thought, this is the way I'm thinking. So it's changing the way I'm thinking in a way that I don't know, it didn't do before, but the action group has definitely made it more part of who I am.
Yeah. Beautiful.
An action group is like the magic sauce. That 5 minutes of bringing intention to your parenting, to even have the reflective thought of like, what am I working towards? What am I willing to commit to? What's the next smallest step that I could take? That is the magic sauce, because intellectually we can read all the things, we can listen to all the modules, we can listen and read all the books or the podcasts, but it's where your intuition, your mind, and your body come together to actually experientially put it into practice. And each and every part of this action group is a mirror for myself. And I also get to mirror back things to them. And that is the gift. And Catherine, which she's wonderful, but she's not an expert, but even like her being willing to be vulnerable and share the things she's not getting quite right allows all of us to go, I'm not getting this quite right. And I'm still going to keep playing around with it. So that the curiosity is super helpful. And the normalizing that sometimes, like, I came in, I had a plan, I had my computer, the battery was dead. You know, how much does that happen with our kids? Like, we have a plan, and then like their gas tanks, like they've overstimulated or whatever, they are way on empty and we didn't realize it. So we have to like pivot. And then we, you know, use a camera on our phone and it's like upside down. Like, yeah, sometimes you're like, this should work. And it turns out upside down and it's not working. And instead of like getting stuck in the like banging your head against a wall and keep doing the same thing, this action group helps me to go, oh yeah, that didn't work. Let's me be curious about that. What didn't work about that? Maybe it's not what works here. Even though my mind thinks it should, it's not what's working. So it allows me to pivot much quicker to go, let's try this other thing. Or let's see what happens if I do this. So it's also like an idea generator. But I think most of what like I find here is a space where you get other perspectives and some mirrors back. But this really, each of us holding that we all have our own inner wisdom, and connecting with that and our knowledge of our own kids is really what helps us most effectively get to where we want to go. So those are my thoughts.
Thanks, Katie. Yeah. Appreciate it. It's really awesome to hear. Amazing to hear. So you all were kind enough to let me record one of your regular calls. And what I'd like to do is to play back some of the pieces of the calls that really stuck out to me. And I ask you kind of what was happening. Now you've had a week of separation between that call and today when we're recording this session. And I'd love to hear just a little bit more about your thought process and how you're supported by your group, by your community in these calls. So Catherine, you went first on the call last week and you shared how you don't want to have your son think that he's disappointing you, like you always seem to disappoint your own parents, and you practice gratitude toward him.
Okay, my action step from last week, I believe, was to try to do a gratitude practice for my son, my oldest, who's six, because I just felt like I was getting into a space of being kind of nitpicky with him, like just having shorter patience for him compared to my other two kids who are younger, just expecting more of him because he's older. And just like the particular ways in which he was reaching out for affection were like he will do a sort of lot of draping his legs over mine, or like light brushing touches that my body is not enjoying, right? Like I'd read a thing recently where oftentimes, like if you're feeling overtouched by your kids, a lot of it is like the light brushing sensations as compared to like a more solid deep hug, kind of that with like more pressure on your joints is more grounding and soothing. And I found that to be totally the case for me. So anyway, the upshot of it was like, it was really helpful to have set that intention and know that I could be accountable to y'all for reporting back, and to try to like, okay, every day, like at least basically like every day, say at least one nice thing to him about something he's done that I really appreciate, and to make myself stop and notice when he's being really loving towards his siblings, even if a few minutes later it's not like that. Or just something he's helping us out with, even if he's grumbling a little bit about it or whatever else. And I don't know if he or anyone else necessarily noticed, but I felt better about it for having this intention. Like, it's very much more the kind of relationship that I'm working towards, right? Where, I said to my own parents once that, I don't have the data for this, but the way that it has always felt to me is that I was born and that was like the peak of my potential in their eyes, and I've just been disappointing them ever since. It's just been downhill since then, because they would often, you know, when they were lecturing me or my sister about something that we've disappointed, and they would think back to like you a couple years ago you used to like blah 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 something that was better, and I was like, what I remember from that time period was that we were disappointing you then as well. So I just like, it's a very different perspective. So I've just been reflecting on that. Like, I don't want my kids to feel like I'm always exasperated with them, which was the direction I was leaning in a little bit. So yeah, that was good. I'm going to try to keep up. And I think my next step this week is building off of the success of that.
So you said it felt good to set that step and to be held accountable for it. So how did it help?
I think it's interesting for choosing a next step often that like I want to set a goal that I am actually kind of excited about in a way. You know, there may be some portion of like, look, I've been doing, there's been a pattern of behavior I'm not especially proud of, but I've taken the steps to try to be vulnerable, to share it with others that I know care about me and my family, and to then feel like, okay, there's something that I want to reach towards, that I want to do better on. And throughout the week, I think it's so easy to expend all of my energy on like outward facing outside of the family, you know, like being professional at work or like keeping up other appearances or whatever else, and then be depleted and not be at my best self for my kids and my husband, who are actually the relationships that are most important to me. And so to set that sort of action step and think about it throughout the week, because I know I want to report back to the other folks in the group about how things went. It's just to feel agency over steering my life to truly live my own values more feels amazing. Like, it just feels really solid. Even if I'm not 100% successful all the time, it's in the right direction. And so it just fills me with hope and optimism.
Mm. Yeah, we need that hope and optimism sometimes, right? To keep us going through the hard moments. Yeah. Thank you. And then Rachel, the group did some brainstorming for you on your son's possible needs when he was taking toys from his younger sister.
My son is there's some like fighting with his sister who's one, And I would love your help to identify some needs. So I'm going to try to tell the story as if I just have a video recorder and, you know, without judgment. So say I walk into the room and my four-year-old is in the process of taking a toy out of the hands of his sister. And he'll say, like, this is mine. I had it first. And usually I'll say something like, and we don't take toys out of the hands of the other person. And I am feeling frustrated by this interaction because I just see it happening a lot, you know, where my son is, he's physically taking objects from his sister's hands. His sister then cries. And I don't always know how to problem solve in the moment. So I just invite some comments. Like, do you know, could you help me identify what my son might be needing? And if you have any suggestions on what I might do to help meet those needs, I'd love your thoughts.
Yeah, I think that is really tough to handle when you're watching these play out and like the siblings are at an age difference and relative and absolute, where you're like, the one, you know, you feel very defensive of your younger child, I'm sure, right?
I do, right. And so, but I also try to be fair. So if the one-year-old is trying to take a toy from the four-year-old, like I try to have that rule, we don't take from each other's hands. Mm-hmm. But I do, but it does bother me, of course, when I see the four-year-old doing it, because I guess, have the expectation or hope that mm-hmm. he wouldn't grab.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you have a sense of whether, you know, some potential needs I might brainstorm here, that he is in fact experimenting with what her reaction to his doing this, you know, because I think a lot of it can be about they're experimenting with relationship interactions. Like, if I do this, what will happen to another person? Or mm-hmm. do you feel like it's more directed to you or other adult caregivers around? Like, if I do this, then I will get this kind of reaction from the adults? Or is it like he's curious and like he is in fact interested in something that she happened to pick up first? And so he wants to like, or is he trying to play with her? I don't know. Those are
right. Those are all wonderful brainstorming. And maybe what I can do this week is my action step is journal. So when I see the four-year-old doing these behaviors, I can just write down the observations, like kind of when this happens, maybe put some context of like what happened just before. Is he doing it because I walk into the room? Or is he, does it seem a little bit more spontaneous? And then bring my reflections back to you guys next week. Because then maybe I'll be able to help identify the needs. Is it a connection with his sister? Is it a connection with me mm-hmm. That he's looking for? Or is he looking more for a sense of autonomy? Like, because that could be also be part of it. So thanks for helping me brainstorm that. I just wanted to state it out loud. think about it a little more objectively.
Yeah, it's so common.
Yeah, and I was thinking also, is your daughter actually upset?
She does get upset when if he pulls it from her, then there's tears.
Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking about her reaction. Is it, how is she responding? And is it, if it doesn't bother her?
True. Yeah, that's true. And you're right. I should caveat, like, you know, not every time there's tears. Sometimes she'll just like redirect to another toy. But still, it's still, you're right. Like, and so it's always that choice. Like, do I let it be, or do I still say like, hey, like, that's not something that we do in our house. Like, we don't pull from other people. And maybe even just by taking a journal, like, I can see how often this is happening, because of course, because I'm seeing it and I'm like, something that I don't like. And so maybe it's becoming a bigger problem in my head than it actually is to the children.
So what did you take out of those ideas and where did you go next with it?
After discussing with the group, I decided to observe and write down when my son took toys away from his sister. And I discovered that he took toys away that he has deemed special. And so, for example, he took a book away from his sister because he had recently received it as a gift. So it was his book. And he told that to me when I asked him. And so we had a family conversation at dinner when we were all calm and fed. And he decided he'll keep his special toys and books on his bed so that his sister won't access them, but also that we, his mom and dad, will know what ones are really special for him, because sometimes it gets confusing. And so through journaling, I also realized that my son doesn't take items as frequently as I perceived. He took toys 3 times this past week. And so when my husband and I looked at the notes, we decided that he has a need for more autonomy and have come up with different ways he can grow in new skills. So, but the group helped me stay accountable to that, because I knew I was going to report back to them that so that they could either celebrate the win with me or help me brainstorm further.
Yeah. Wow. And so, yeah, the impression I definitely got when I watched the recording is this is happening all the time, right? Multiple times every day.
It felt like that.
Very different. Yeah.
Right. So that helped as well, just to be able to be like, oh, what's reality and what's my perception?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you.
If and I could jump in, I just wanted to like using a lot of the phrasing we have, is that I feel like, Rachel, in doing this journaling, that helps you meet your needs as well. Specifically, we often talk about a need for competence as a parent. Like, I think a lot of us, especially with kids under the age of 5, there's this deep secret fear that you are raising a sociopath of some kind. And just like, you just like one small thing happens wrong. And you're just like, what if this is like always the case? They're like never going to be fully functioning adults who are kind and other values that we hold. And it's just like the catastrophizing, I don't know how you pronounce that word properly, but like, it's so easy to fall into that path. And it sounds like way more manageable. I'll talk to him about it.
My husband and I, we frequently go to bed and we look at each other and we're like, maybe we're just doing it wrong. And so it's helpful to come to the group and be like, are we doing it wrong? Are we doing it right? Tell me your stories.
Yeah. And so we often find, I think there's like some areas for improvement. Like, you can problem solve together as a family and feel like you're collaborating and not like it's a parents versus children trying to whip them into civilized states or anything.
Definitely. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. And so, Beth, you were talking through a challenge that you were having getting ready for upcoming holidays. And all Catherine did was ask you a simple question about what you want. And you realized what the underlying issue was, right? That you have a need for rest that hadn't been accounted for in your planning so far. And then, of course, it seemed like that was sort of a chronic issue.
I'm worried about the long holiday break coming up and how to handle that, because I don't have any real scheduled downtime unless family kind of takes her. She's not in any camps or anything. And so I kind of want to, between screen time, problem solving, and connection, I kind of want to figure something out in advance. But yeah, I'm not quite sure how to do that other than like to try to have conversations with her. But I think something in that arena should be my focus for this week, maybe, or the next couple of weeks until it pops up. Because yeah, the fact that I'm not going to get much downtime is going to make it, I struggle with that a lot. I don't know if anyone has any thoughts, suggestions. My thoughts on this are a bit malformed or nascent.
When is the holiday break?
21st, I think, is when hers starts. Oh,
so a couple weeks more from now.
Yeah, yeah. 21st is the first day. It's like the Thursday before Christmas. And then it's a week break, I think.
Almost. And are you thinking more that you're thinking ahead for seeing if there are ways to build in more downtime for yourself by arranging schedule or help or such? Or is it more you want to see if you can start raising the conversation with her to talk about your need for rest and both of your needs for connection and participating?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. And I've been thinking about it more, more around her need for connection and not including myself in the equation, mm-hmm. As per usual. So yeah, my need for rest. Historically, she's been a bit resistant to my needs. So, yeah. Maybe that's the point. I mean, I think the action step is probably to have those problem-solving conversations. But maybe what I could use a little input on is if anyone's had any luck raising that awareness in their five-year-old with any success.
Yeah. So if anybody does have input on that, like, we can do that in the chat, and because Beth, that's such a valid question, and can continue to talk about that. I'll have to share next if you're.
Yeah, no, thank you. That helped me to clarify, because I was kind of uncertain about how to move forward, and yeah, thanks for helping me get to that realization.
For sharing.
So since rest seems to be kind of a consistent need of yours, I'm curious about how being with your action group helped you to see this in a way that was apparently more difficult to access by yourself.
Yeah, this is something that I've been working on in my therapy sessions as sort of a me issue. And I keep trying to figure out how to notice myself in the equation, but I hadn't quite made that connection to seeing myself in parenting situations when I'm focused on my daughter's needs. And so yes, this is a chronic issue. I have a bit of a blind spot generally. And I think that a combination of things from the group has helped. One is just having that weekly touch point where it keeps coming up and where I'm making some of these connections in my brain and externally between parenting and self, and really pulling those closer together, integrating them. So the group kind of knows this about me, and so it comes up a lot. And I think the other aspect is hearing other people in the group bring it up in their own situations as well helps me start to recognize it more. And then, of course, a very pointed question like Catherine's. All of those combined have just given me more practice from different angles so that I'm starting to notice it more. I wouldn't say consistently yet, but it was such an aha moment that the lack of recognizing that was such an eye-opener, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So integrating all the different threads of what's happening in your life. Yeah. In a way that it's hard to do by yourself. Sometimes a reflective listener can make that happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm an only parent, so I don't get those moments of rest very often unless my child is at school. And and I'm often at home alone. So in those moments, I don't have others reflecting that back. So thanks for that.
Super. Thank you. And Pedro, your next step was so simple, right? Apologizing to your son for speaking to him in a way that wasn't aligned with your values. And it really just seemed like an, oh, of course, moment for you.
I was listening to a conversation with a podcast from Jen, her most recent one, and talking about disrupting power dynamics. And I was thinking about my child today. He unbuckled himself because he got really hot. And I was really upset because I was just about to drive off. And that meant there's no way. And I was like, what are you doing? We're going to be late. And I told you I need to be on time. Like, why? I was so hot. I had to do it. And at first I was really, I was very upset and I was talking to him. And then later when I calmed down in the car ride, I was able to say, like, I don't like that you did that because of it slowed me down. And then I was like, I need you never to do that again. And then I caught myself because I was thinking about the conversation and I was like, but actually, does that work for you? Like, could you have done anything different? And he goes, no. I was really, really hot. I had to take it off. And the only way I could do it was to take off my neck. And I was like sitting with it thinking, oh, dang, he has a point. Like, what can I do? except to just sit with the fact that I didn't enjoy it. And I was like, okay, this is a change I think I can accept. I feel like I still actually need to go back to him because I feel I didn't resolve the way, I didn't treat him really well, but I was able to, and that's the thing I don't know how exactly to, but I was able to correct myself and say, okay, since it doesn't work for you, even though I said you cannot do that, disregard what I said. That was too top. Like, I didn't want that top down. I want it to be more collaborative. And I was able to correct the collaborative, but I wasn't able to address the emotional. So those are two things I'd love some help.
Just to check, is there more you feel like you have some more repair that you wanted to check in with him about? And had you apologize to him for your initial reaction? Is that something that you want to do?
That's a good point. I don't think I actually said I'm sorry. That's probably what is. No, that's a good point.
I'm like, you jumped ahead to like, okay, I want to fix it.
Yeah.
And then I didn't say like out loud to the other person,
I'm sorry. I'm
sorry.
That's probably why it doesn't feel settled.
Right, yeah.
Close the door. Oh, that's a point. I mean, that's pretty simple. I appreciate that.
You can do that.
Yeah, I can do that. I can be able to do that.
I also just want to chime in and say, like, this is just, it sounds normal. Like, this is all like normal interactions. Like, this happens to everyone, just in case you're ever feeling like, like I'm doing it wrong. Like, this, I just, that feelings of like exasperation or frustration or like my need for safety, like, is conflicting with your need for comfort or whatever the conflict was with the Christmas decorations of like we want to celebrate, like you said, like it feels bigger. And just like the emotions are bigger too, because there's just a little bit more weight with it. And so I think what I just wanted to celebrate and acknowledge what you're doing, which is taking the time to reflect after, like after the emotions have passed, to think, you know, how do I repair? How can I do it differently? And that is, it's just a really beautiful work that you're doing. So that's what I want to say.
I was recognizing that too. Like, I feel like this week we're having a theme of, you know, like sort of external obligations we feel beholden to, of like a time, like not enough time, gonna be late, rushing. Like, you're probably driven by fear, Peju, as well, right? Like, that if that had happened and you hadn't known about it, he'd be unsafe. And that's like very primal fear for a parent, obviously. And yet to even have the self-awareness to like catch ourselves after the fact and want to not just brush it away and hide our shame or whatever. It's to say like, okay, that didn't go the way that I wanted. I want to do better next time. And I recognize it. Like, this is really great modeling for the kids too, right? Like, it's okay to make mistakes and you can repair after. Yeah. I'd love to not make mistakes in the first place, but I am but a human being. It would be so great.
And so I'm wondering, is there something about just describing these kinds of situations out loud to people who care for you and who care about you, make it easier for you to get to that next step? Because it seems as though you could just think about this stuff yourself, right? So what is it about being with the group that enables this process to happen for you?
I think it has to do with just, again, integrating it from my head to my heart. And making it something that is consistent in the way I do life. And I don't easily apologize. I find that I'm a very intentional person and I try to do things like I feel like I thought it through. Like I was like, we were ready to go. Like even in that scenario, I thought I handled, you know, I feel like I'm very intentional and I'm very particular about things. And so even that simple step of not apologizing, like I knew I was in the wrong. I felt something was off, but I couldn't even articulate what was off about what I did. I think that mirroring back has been just very helpful for me to really integrate into myself the changes that I'm seeking as the change and you know, create a home in which we are doing the work of disrupting the changes that I've been seeking for. I have very intentional Bobbitt family values in our home, and I'm holding myself accountable and then doing my own work.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And Jodi, I know doing your own work is a theme for you as well. And I know you have a somewhat challenging relationship with your parents that we've been, you know, talking about in a bunch of different forums. And so Pedro really reflected something to you, right? This idea of acceptance rather than trying to force forgiveness for your parents that really seemed to resonate for you.
Basically, I was having a full-on argument with my mother over WhatsApp. And this took the entire day because between each message, it was like a, you know, 20, 40 minute gap of the response and reply and response and reply. So it just dragged out the whole day. The plus side was there was a built-in pause. But at the same time, I would be fuming for 15 minutes with the stuff that she says. You know, I would say, you know, this is a boundary. This is my boundary. This is what I'm not willing to do. And then she would say something I can't remember what it was exactly, but it felt like it violated that boundary. And that really, really got me fuming. That multiple times, multiple needs, I would fume, I would pull down, and then I was trying to identify what was the need that wasn't being met. Like for example, she likes to end she likes to respond with just a whole line of emojis. I'm like, this does not make sense. Like, why are you doing that? We're having a serious conversation. Can you please not do like a whole line of emojis or like a single GIF or something to respond? And after I said that, the first thing that came back was the okay emoji. I'm like, what the fish is happening? Like, I just said that. Like, why would you do something like that? Yeah, so it was a lot of that going on. And yeah, so at the end of the day, I was really drained. And I tried using the module 2, parenting as a team, like the soft start approach, is that okay, I'm feeling hurt right now because you know, this doesn't work for me. And how do you feel about that? Can we talk about it? And so we finally have a discussion about it, and we brought up our things of my past, like the what they've done to hurt me in the past, how it's how I felt about it then, and what I want them to do to, you know, to sort of correct it, you know, basically acknowledgement or some form of acknowledgement. And at the end of it, I really wanted to forgive them, but I just couldn't do it. It just wasn't in me. I want to, but I just have this, I don't know, resistance. It feels like I haven't punished them enough, if that is the right phrasing for it. I know this sounds mean.
Jodi, I just wanted to say I have totally been there as well. And I see that it's really hard to want something from our parents that they are just not able to give you right then. Like, I heard you saying, like, you just want this one thing. Don't reply with just like unintelligible emojis and like take you seriously. And your mom, it sounds like that she, for unknown reasons to us, right, she just can't right now. And you're left alone from something that's like someone that you really want that support from. And I'm sorry for that. It's really hard.
May I say?
Thanks for that.
Sorry.
No. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Catherine. Sorry, Paige, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I felt like when I hear you say that you feel like you need to apologize, I just felt I wanted to share that maybe there's another path, and you don't have, like, I mean, the forgiveness instead of the pressure of forgiving them. My background tells me, I always only told me there's only one path, just forgiveness. But when I experienced a betrayal from my parents, I had to explore other alternatives, and I never knew there were others. And I just would like to offer that forgiveness is not the only thing out there. There's acceptance as well. And I found that much more approachable and something that gave me peace. And I want peace for you.
That was really beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. I never thought of just not forgiving and just accept instead. I'm not sure how that will work, but I will definitely have to consider that. Thank you.
So how is this sitting for you now, Jody?
I think it was such a sudden realization for me that it took a while to process. I had to talk it through with my wife, with my accounter buddy from Taming Your Triggers workshop. And when it finally sort of, when I finally internalized that I could just accept rather than forgive, I just felt lighter. I mean, I was still tired. Nothing's changed with my parents, but I just felt this whole sense of body relief. And yeah, it was just from one suggestion from Pedro, and it was such a beautiful suggestion. I never would have thought of it myself. And it's made the world of difference for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it doesn't have to be like a miraculous, momentous, you know, I forgive you now and everything is good. But just that simple shift, right, in perspective can be really powerful in terms of how you show up in that relationship. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, definitely. And I think even moving forward now, I sense that I am not reacting as much. I'm not triggered as much when thinking about the things that my parents have done to cause me hurt. And yeah, so I think it's definitely a step in the right direction for me.
Wow, that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. And then Katie, you gave a great example of a next step that didn't quite make it to completion the previous week. And of course, the group did not publicly shame you for it, which, you know, people are always worried about, is what's going to happen if I don't do my next step? And instead, you were working towards breaking it down into smaller steps and figuring out why is this thing important to you and that you find so helpful, and why has it still been so difficult?
My goal from last time was to find one small thing I could do consistently to reconnect with myself in the morning. I'm going to say I did not type that up in our chat. And I also did not mostly do that. So this is not new for me. Last year, my goal was to, with the breathwork course, was to breathe 28 breaths every day. Seems pretty simple, right? Like 3 minutes of breathing, like in a particular way, but 3 minutes of breathing, like, should be so easy to do, right? It took me 8 months to be able to do that. And I had to connect with the deepest part of myself, this attachment part that feels such raw sadness, to be like, I'm not gonna leave her alone anymore. So I'm gonna breathe with her every day. And morning time didn't work. So I found, like, evening time worked. Okay. So, like, I found a way that worked for me. Morning time has always been the hardest. So I'm gonna give myself grace, gentleness of like, this is gonna take some time probably, and that's okay. My goal right now is to stay committed to this one thing, to give 80% of my attention to staying with this, even through the resistance, even through what's hard, even through, like, to come every week and be like, okay, here's where I am with it. To not go to other goals, because that is what I tend to do. I could tell you 500 other things that I could focus on. And so that's my intention, is to come back to this one. And I think for this week, I would like to at least once sit down and journal about what's hard about doing that in the morning, what's hard about connecting with myself, for a particular part of myself. I know which part's having a hard time, but you know, what's hard about that, to get to understand it a little bit better.
That seems like way to have compassion for yourself, for, you know, you even with last week, that it didn't wind up with the way that you wanted, and finding the way for the new story to tell. I really like that framing that you had there. And also thanks for sharing that even so-called simple things can take months to become reality.
It takes as long as it takes.
Yeah.
So Katie, were you able to do that journaling, and would you be willing to share what you learned from doing that?
Yeah. So this is another example of, no, I didn't quite do the thing. I didn't do the journaling, but for me, when I get curious and ask the question, I may not go and do that thing the way I think I want to do it, but the asking the question itself kind of guides me through the week. So that question I got of like, why, what is hard about this, I took with me. And, you know, I generally have therapy after this meeting, so that actually kind of like flowed right into my therapy session. And what was hard about it for me, I realized, is that a part of myself, I call this part my head part, or my getting on with life part, or my, you know, it's the part of us that acts like nothing happened. You know, if you had any trauma or developmental trauma in your life, it's the going on with life, like nothing happened part. It's my really highly functioning part. And I realized that as amazing as this part is, and as helpful as this part has been in my life, he feels a lot of shame. Mm. And it's the part that historically has not felt any feelings, because let's be honest, it's really easier to go on with life if you are disconnected from your body and your feelings, right? So I've been on this journey of integrating and him starting to feel feelings. And I felt the depths of his shame for the first time in my life, of just how unredeemable he feels. Like he just keeps getting things wrong. And isn't that so much the experience of parenting? Feeling like you know how you want to show up as a parent, and you just keep getting things like not quite right, even though you're trying so hard and have the best of intentions. And so why it's hard to do that in the morning is because the type of breath that I do, the conscious connected breath, it helps me connect with the deepest parts of myself, but it also helps me connect with the highest parts of myself. And some people might call that source, divine, God, but it's accessing something that can hold really deep unconditional love and compassion. And for this part of myself, my head part, it's too much. His capacity to take in anything positive or pleasant is so minusculely small, that it's overwhelming. And that happens with our kids a lot too, right? My oldest son, like, I couldn't give him a compliment for the longest time because it was too much for him. Like, we came up with a code word, right? Mm-hmm. And I won't share it because it's secret, but so that when I saw him doing something that was really hard and amazing for him, I could just say this code word so he could take just a little bit of that in. So that's what I'm playing with now. I was like, once again, breaking it down into the next smaller step of how do I make that love, that compassion, that understanding so small that my head part can fully take it in and feel it in a way that doesn't shut him down. So that might be just maybe taking one breath with him, or that might be maybe coming up with a code word for him when I see that he's doing something that's really hard and he's doing amazing at it. Mm-hmm. So I get to play with that.
Oh, that's a lot of deep work.
Yeah.
Super deep. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And so as we wrap up here, I'm wondering, open question for everybody, right? If there's somebody who's maybe thinking about joining the parenting membership and you're thinking, okay, the information is really the core, and yeah, they have this action group thing, but yeah, I don't know. What would you want parents to know, maybe about action groups in general, and maybe even specifically about your action group? Open question for anybody. Jody?
Yeah, I'd just like to share my own personal experience with this action group. When I first joined the parenting membership, I was a bit apprehensive about action groups. I didn't think it was a thing for me, but I really wanted to show up for the membership, and I really wanted to at least have a go at all the things that you presented and suggested that we try. So I did take it on, and I, at the beginning, it was a bit awkward, and, you know, it was, you know, everyone was still trying to get to know each other, and there were times where I just didn't feel like coming on. I don't know, do I have to talk to these people again? Being said, the people in my action group, I confide in with my most vulnerable moments that I wouldn't even share with my friends, like my best friends from high school. We don't share the same parenting values as the people on the outside. And I can speak to my action group with what we've learned in the course, and they get it, and they get how hard it is, and they get a lot of the things is just really hard work, and we stuff up and we keep going, and yeah, it's now I really look forward to it. There were a few times I even mentioned that I'm here because I want I am trying to fill my need for connection of being to be seen and understood, and I know I can get it here.
Wow, that's so lovely. Thank you so much, Jody. Really appreciate that.
When I signed up for an action group, I wasn't sure what I was getting into. You know, just sometimes I tend to be a joiner. Like, I'll just say yes and then figure out the commitment later. And I also believe in the power of trying something three times. So the first time to experiment, get through the awkwardness, the second time to tweak, and then the third time to optimize. So by the third time that I showed up at the action group, I knew that this was a good group for me. And I think as I've, one of my big epiphanies as a parent is that it's not just about me as an individual going through life anymore, that I'm gathering skills for myself, for my career. Instead, like, I am part of a family. I'm part of a unit, and I need to think collectively. And so it makes sense to me that I'd also be learning and integrating as a community as well. And I am somebody who's more relational, and I'm intuitive. And so even though I love reading and researching, as Paige, you said, how do I move it from my head to my heart? Like, and I do that in relationship, so that then I can go, you know, in relationship with my family and implement them. And so it's just been a really beautiful, like, give and take of learning, sharing, trusting, and taking all of that goodness and bringing it to my family.
There's more to life than research. So say it and so. Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate that. Beth, did you want to add something?
Yeah, to echo what others have said, I think that connection and community are core. I mean, connection is one of my core needs, or I guess my cherry need probably. And community and collaboration are other needs/values for me. And as an only parent, I don't get a lot of that in the family unit. I'm trying to work on that with my daughter, who's 5. So, you know, to varying success at this age and this amount of practice that we've had. And so I guess I was pretty bought into the idea. I've had other experiences where being in a group has been really beneficial to me. I was a little wary of the 5 to 7 minutes stay sort of on track with your action step. Like, I wasn't so sure that would give me enough of what I needed from that connection, from that group and that community. And as we've discussed, as we've talked about already today, like, it's amazing how well we know each other from just that. Just those 5 to 7 minutes over 6 months. I was wrong. my guess about whether it would work or not was totally wrong. And it had value beyond the value I expected it to have. And I really appreciate so much. I have so much gratitude for the people in this group, for coming and being there and holding each other and being part of our little community. And I think also for all of the support that we give each other as we journey and try to parent more in alignment with our values, but also live in more alignment with our values beyond parenting, because everything we're doing with parenting applies elsewhere in our lives, I think. Like Chetan will argue with that at all. So yeah, I think it's just been a really a profoundly helpful experience for me. So thank you all.
Fantastic. I think if anybody's on the fence about an action group, they should just do it. If they want to have that accountability and a safe place to talk about their things that they aren't doing well or just aren't quite getting right yet, and the place where they can share all those wins and have other people celebrate you, this is a good place to experiment and reiterate and celebrate.
Lovely. Thanks, Rachel.
Yeah. I'd like to piggyback off of that celebration, because I think an action group, no matter what stage of your parenting journey you're on, an action group is the best resource and gift you could give yourself. Because if you're early on, there's so much shame and judgment in the parenting space that an action group helps you to diffuse that shame, because shame can't exist when it's spoken and it's held in a space of compassion. We heal in relationship. So being in the space of others that get it, that understand the challenges, and that can hold compassion is so incredibly just a balm to your soul. And the celebration piece is early on. Like, I've learned that for me, like focusing on one thing and mastering that one thing is what works the best. And my first one thing that I chose to master was celebrating my wins, because it's the celebrating of your wins that helps you get out of the shame. It's the fastest way out of shame is celebrations. And if you can't quite get directly to celebrations, then like compassion, self-compassion is the middle route. So that alone helps you early on. And if you're later on like me and you've like read all the things and have all the like multiple parent coaching programs and all the podcasts, like I didn't need the intellectual things anymore. I mean, I can still learn some from that. But when I joined Parenting Mojo and I asked myself, you know, if I was only able to do one thing, what's the one thing that would have the most impact for me? Because I'm also a solo parent, so I'm very mindful and intentional with how I spend my time and energy. That one thing was an action group. And so this is the only thing that I'm doing right now with Parenting Mojo. And it's been incredibly useful, because for me, it is that accountability. It is that celebrating that wins. It is the, yep, I tried this thing, it didn't work. All right, next thing. So I don't get stuck in the doing the same thing every week over and over again. That's not working. So yeah, I'm team action group.
Love it. I got goosebumps when you were talking about the shame, how it helps with that.
I wanted to share for any folks in the audience who, if there's anyone who's feeling a little bit like, wow, this still sounds like kind of touchy-feely for me. I'm not really much of a feelings person. I just want to share, like, I'm a software engineer by trade. My husband describes my orientation to the world as, in God we trust, all else must bring data. Like, I'm not really into necessarily a lot of, like, woo-woo stuff overall. And I'm too tired to be doing things in life that don't fulfill me some need in some way, right? Like, I'm very ruthlessly Marie Kondo. I just turned 37 over the weekend, and every year my birthday wishes the same thing, which is like for no one to talk to me or touch me and just leave me alone for the day, pretty much. All right. So I'm a huge introvert, and I look forward to this group every single week. It's worth it. You may have to experience it to believe it, but it's worth trying.
Very true. Thank you, Catherine. Edgy, would you like to add anything?
I think what I thought was, I like to share that this is actually my second action group. My first one, they decided to end. We weren't able to all keep to that commitment, but a seed had been planted, and I was committed to creating, like to doing the work. And I felt that just showing up was the best I could do at the moment. And even this group gave me space to just show up. And in it, I felt the capacity to even do more as I was showing up. And I was gaining skills of really what I was looking for. Like sometimes when you look at the framework of how to do nonviolent communication and how to integrate your values into your life, it's hearing in those stories other parents doing it that you're like, oh, sometimes a little light bulb go off. And I find that just like very encouraging. Maybe it's the way I learn, but it's true. I feel in community, you learn so much together and in relationships. And it truly is non-judgmental. I don't feel, even when I feel something, I'm able to name that something that I feel and work on that. And I know that because I see other people model it. And it's true. You really are given the space to be you, to grow in our commitment of doing this work, this change work, and parent in the way that's aligned to what we are saying we want to do. And we're not all the same, but there is a framework in which we are working with, and I feel that helps. And our leader, Catherine, is very helpful in guiding us through. And like, even though it's 5 minutes, I think that actually really does help you walk through things in a great way. And I don't feel lost. I felt like I've been always encouraged when I don't show up. Somebody said something like, "Oh," and I'm like, "Oh, I meant to come," and there's still no. There's no judgment. So I feel like everybody's bringing each other in beautiful ways. And there's, even if you think that just showing up is the littlest, it is so powerful. You're doing something for yourself and for your family. And it's the beginning of change, you know.
I'm so grateful to Catherine, Rachel, Beth, Peju, Jody, and Katie for allowing us to see just a little bit of how they support each other on a weekly basis. It's amazing to think that each of them only talks for 5 minutes, and yet their knowledge of each other has built to the extent that they're now integral in each other's lives. They genuinely care about each other. They don't just show up to talk for their 5 minutes to get help for themselves and disappear. They've come to know each other on their good days and their bad days. They can celebrate with each other when things are going well, and because they've seen each other on the good days, when someone's having a difficult day, they can remind that person that things won't always be this way. And even though they might feel like a terrible parent in that moment, they're really a great parent having a hard day. As you saw, the parents in this group aren't shy about saying that they don't care that I'm not in their action group. They don't need me to be in the group to get something valuable out of it. I support them by offering modules of content that they can use to continue their learning and coaching them on group coaching calls and gathering a community of parents who share their values. I regularly see Jody and Beth and sometimes Peju and Rachel on the group coaching calls that I lead. I never see Catherine or Katie on group coaching calls because that's not their thing. That's not how they prefer to learn. And that's totally fine. Action groups offer a way of learning and growing that's more aligned with their needs. And I will say that I've met parents who identify as profound introverts who were really intimidated by the thought of joining a group and who got a lot out of the experience. As an introvert myself, I think I see why. The scariest part is actually not interacting with other people. It's interacting in groups with no defined roles or things to do that's hard. And this isn't that. You don't even have to speak in your first meeting if you don't want to. So you can get the hang of it. And then there's a defined format to share what worked with your next step from last week, how things are going, and what is your next step for this week. And your 5 minutes go surprisingly quickly. There's no long-term commitment either, because it can take a while to find your feet. We do ask that you commit to attending calls with one group for a month. If after that you decide the time doesn't work or the group isn't the right one for you, you can switch or stop entirely. You aren't letting anyone down. People do change groups, and it's totally fine. So if you would like to have a community of parents in your life who will support you, like Catherine, Rachel, Beth, Peju, Jody, and Katie support each other, then I would love to see you in the parenting membership. Enrollment is open very soon between May 5th and 15th. If you join the waitlist at yourparentingmojo.com/parenting membership, we will send you a discount coupon to use when enrollment opens. And if you missed the recent Setting Loving and Effective Limits workshop that went for 8 days, I would love to see you in our Setting Loving and Effective Limits masterclass. You won't get everything that you could have learned over 8 days, obviously, but you will get a lot of the content and ideas in just one 90-minute free session. So if you find yourself repeating yourself over and over again to your child because they don't listen to you, or if you can't get out of the house with a huge struggle every day, or if you go to bed at night feeling guilty that you yelled at them again today and promising yourself that you won't do it again and you'll be better and you will really try to remember those Instagram memes that tell you that when your child says this, you should say that. But in your heart of hearts, you know that when you start to get stressed, all of those things you've learned will probably fly out the window. Then I do hope you'll join me for the free masterclass. I will teach you how to set limits effectively, but I'll also show you how to get your needs met much more of the time so you can have the kind of calm, connected, joyful relationship with your child that you want to have. You can sign up for the masterclass at yourparentingmojo.com/setting-limits-masterclass. I can't wait to see you in the masterclass or the parenting membership, or maybe both.
If you'd like Jen to address the challenge you're having in parenting, just email your 1-minute video or audio clip to support@yourparentingmojo.com and listen out for your episode soon.